broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is indeed the broadcast for June 16th in the year of our Lord 2018. This is hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. In the Bill of Rights, we stand for the Ten Commandments and biblical principles, and man, it's all about God, family, and country for us. If they tell you we're isolationists, they lie. If they tell you we're racist, they lie again. Go listen to the last hour. We talked about a Muslim, a female. They tell you that we hate women. It's a lie, right? It's an absolute falsehood. Listen to who we are and what we say and give us a fair hearing, will you please, is all I ask. Last hour, we talked about race, the divisions, the founding fathers, isolationism, women, men, gay, lesbians, marriage, the whole bit. We talked about a lady that's armed and Muslim in America, New York Times. They write an article that just divides. But it turns out that Miss Muhammad is an American citizen. I don't have any problem with her taking her Glock pistol to the shooting range. She has every right as anybody else. Are we going to defend her right? Are we going to bring people together on this? American Muslims, like Miss Muhammad and others, say they have guns for the same reasons as anybody else. They talk about this, well, for protection, for self-defense. They also cite another factor, persecution, fear of persecution. I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. Anyway, an epic hour. We're going to get into some other topics that continue this theme of this divide and conquer in America. Gay against straight. White against black. Now, I wrote an article called A Clarion Call for Civility to try to stop a lot of this, right? It's up on our website, libertyroundtable.com. Check it out. I've been on this for a while. This theme is critical. Why do the New York Times use these, in my opinion, very divisive headlines? I'm disappointed. Why don't we focus on solutions and answers? Do we believe in the principles that made America great, or don't we, is the real question that I would ask. Do we believe in slavery? I don't. And in my opinion, if we're going to persecute this poor Muslim woman who happens to be an American citizen and believes in the Muslim religion, she's been in America her whole life. She probably speaks English just like we do. She has every right. Do we believe in that? And are we going to defend her or aren't we? Now, let's just say that I found out that she was lesbian too. Would I defend her? Sure. Would I be angry and evil towards her and change my view? No, I would not. I don't believe we should discriminate against her at all. Even though I don't believe in discrimination, I believe people have the right to discriminate. You say, well, Sam, that's a disconnect. No, it's not. It's very fundamentally clear, stable, honorable, consistent. That's what it is. We need to treat people with kindness. All right, here's the next few stories that relate to these very same topics. Listen up. Robber tries to carjack two cars. Both drivers pulled out firearms, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me be very clear. I have no idea if the robber's black or white, male or female, liberal or conservative, or any of the divide lines they want to throw at me. I have no idea, and I don't care. The robber's wrong. We thought we had a criminal-free zone in these two cars here, but it turns out that a criminal invaded the space of good people. And the good people, by the way, I have no idea what color. No, I don't have any idea what race. I don't have any idea male or female. I don't have any idea tall, short, fat, skinny, ugly, beautiful, smart, stupid. I have no idea. And I don't care. The good guys pulled out guns, and guess what happened? Well, the thug had to just bail, abort, abuse, rape me not. Rob me not, murder me not, the good guys with guns literally pulled out the gun, the robber had to flee, and that's the end of that. Now, where's the mainstream press telling you that tale? And where's the mainstream press telling you the good guys won, the bad guys lost? Who are the good guys and the bad guys in this case? Well, anybody that wants to commit criminal activity is the bad guy. Anybody that wants to stop criminal activity is the good guy. right? That's how it is. See how this story dovetails nicely with the point? Where's the mainstream press reporting this? Robber tries to carjack two cars. Both drivers just pull out the rape me not, the rob me not, and say, uh-uh, not on my watch, friend. And the robber has to flee for his own safety. All right, now it turns out that thousands are rallying for gun rights in Minnesota State Capitol. I even heard at the top of the news gun rights discussions and stories, right? Wow. So I bring that up just to tell you. Now, the last 2 days have been interesting. Friday's broadcast and today's broadcast. Let me just kind of cover what we've covered, if you will. They're both still available. Well, the Friday's broadcast is available on demand still at libertyroundtable.com. Saturday, that's today, will be up soon. As soon as I get done with the show, I'll put it up, and both shows will be available on demand at your fingertips. Free. By the way, if you want to donate, would love it. libertyroundtable.com. Now, Friday, we had our guest on, Mr. Terry Colafrancesco. And he is the founder and the director of Caritas of Birmingham. He's a friend of Medjugorje, or Medjugorje. MEJ.com is his website. Now, who is he? Well, he's a Catholic, and he has created a covenant community for a group of Catholics. And it is a tremendous community. I've been there. I've prayed with them. I've eaten with them. I've spent plenty of time with them. I spent several days in their covenant community is the best way I can describe it. Do I believe exactly like they do? No, I don't. We have different religions. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a Mormon. These guys are Catholic. But I'm telling you right now, they're some of the best people on the planet. And even though we don't agree on everything, we agree on most things. And so I highlight that because I'm just defending last hour this Muslim lady that's an American citizen. And I'm defending these Catholics as well. Well, anyway, we talked about in this broadcast, the first hour Friday with Terry Colafrancesco, we talked about prayer is the passport to spiritual power. And we got to embrace good and reject evil. The battle lines are drawn. They were drawn in the war in heaven, if you believe the Bible. And they continue today. And we talked about the House of Representatives will take up two immigration bills next week. And it's all but guaranteed the national ID card, a biometric national ID card, will be in one or both of them. It's vital that you and I take action to stop this latest national ID scheme before it's too late. All right. We also talked about the violation of privacy in the private sector. It's called Google Beacon. Or Google Project Beacon, I'm sorry. Google Project Beacon. What is it? Well, your phone is like a spy in your pocket, says Science News. How retail stores track you while using your smartphone and how to stop it. We talked about all that the first hour. Check it out at libertyroundtable.com. In essence, the Google Beacon Project is this deal where Google will send these stores these little beacon devices, these little electronic boxes. You put them up in your store, and it'll help you get more business. Because it'll send out a beacon call to phones. It'll track phones while you're in their store by MAC address. And it will literally help you get a leg up in business. You can let people know as they're coming near your store, hey, we're here. We got a special just for you. Hi, Jack. You're a wonderful guy. We know you were in here a couple of days ago and you were looking at these nice pants we've got. There's a sale on them, buddy. And it'll literally, and it's creepy. They claim it doesn't have any violations of privacy, but it does tie your MAC address to their system on your phone. Your MAC address can eventually be tied to you as the owner of that phone. So it gets very scary. We talked about that all hour. And we talked about the importance of understanding that, hey, we need spiritual beacon. And that is prayer. God is always calling out to us. Will we involve ourselves, engage in prayer, and will we use the passport to spiritual power and have spiritual beacons that warn us of danger and help us focus on solutions? And wonderful hour, by the way. Second hour, we talked about Happy Father's Day, and I got to reiterate that. I'm going to copy this down to the broadcast second hour here today, too. We wished you happy birthday multiple times, right? We want to do it again. Happy Father's Day. I shouldn't say birthday. Happy Father's Day. And we talked about even if you don't have a father, have no fear. Or even if your father's abandoned you or he's passed away or whatever, you feel like you don't have a father. Remember, Father's Day can represent your Heavenly Father. He knows you. He loves you. He's interested in your welfare, ladies and gentlemen. Do not forget that I testify of that reality. All right, so happy Father's Day to all of you. We talked about this incredible article, Absent Dads Leave Father's Day Vacancy, USA Today. And it talked about some of the problems. It wisely mentioned that black fathers are twice as likely to live separately from their children as white fathers, according to a Pew Research study conducted in 2011. Now, I don't bring this up to divide. I bring this up to say, listen, why is there a difference there? Partially, it has to do with education. Partially, it has to do with getting the government to quit promoting welfare and creating a sugar daddy for women. Part of it has to do with a culture that needs to change. Part of it has to do with drugs, poor neighborhoods. Part of it has to do with Planned Parenthood. But we need to help all people everywhere to say, hey, the more intact you have a home, well, no matter what we tell ourselves in society, ladies and gentlemen, a child who lives in a house with a mother and a father who have fidelity to one another and who are married to each other, that's the best place possible for a child to be raised, bar none. Always has been, always will be. That's important to understand, ladies and gentlemen, right? We talked about Giuliani speaking out. He says, suspend the Mueller investigation and send Peter Strzok to jail. We talked about the Texas Lieutenant Governor Patrick on school shootings. He says, we have devalued life through abortion, violence, and pop culture. He's spot on.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. So interesting topics. I'll tell you what, we discussed them. And we're not afraid to discuss them on the radio. So that was yesterday's broadcast. It is still available up and on demand online. Happy Father's Day to all of you from us at the Liberty Roundtable team and Liberty News Radio team. Last hour, we talked about this armed and Muslim in America story, how they try to divide and conquer, and we defend this Muslim lady that has every right to keep and bear arms and worship as she chooses. She owns guns for the same reasons as the rest of us. Primarily, she doesn't want to have persecution and be in fear for her life. Do you blame her in this continually increasingly hostile society, folks? All right, hour two today, now. We talked about a robber that tried to carjack two cars. Both of the drivers pulled out their firearms and stopped the thug. Hey, man, we got a criminal-free zone going on. Right? It's wonderful. Thousands are rallying for, quote, gun rights in Minnesota State Capitol. You got to like that. Right? Now, Elton John boycott social media until they ban hate. Now, here's the problem. I don't know if we're considered social media. We're AM/FM broadcasters that happen to have a, quote, social media component to what we do. Is he talking about us? Because I submit to you that we have the least amount of hate of anybody. We're standing, defending people's rights, protecting American citizenship. I'm even protecting the Muslims and defending them. Right? I mean, it's just amazing. Right now, McDonald's are switching to paper straws in Britain. Did you know that? As country turns against plastic. Then they say, well, the disabled have a hard time using paper straws. And they say, don't worry, we've got plastic if you ask for it. Wow. So got this crazy environmental component going on, right? Weird. Just weird stuff. Well, Sam, don't you want to take care of the planet? Of course I do. But I don't like governments manipulating. Now, we talked about race last hour. We talked about all these things. I don't know if you know, but most of the universities were literally receiving money from slave owners and receiving money based on slavery back in the day, including Harvard. So although I've had nothing to do with slavery ever in my life, nor have my immediate ancestors, I don't know if you go too far back, who's what, but Harvard literally is racist right this very second. As you know, these quotas they put in place ends up being reverse discrimination many times. We've got to stop it. Well, the headline from the New York Times National Desk says this: Harvard rates Asian Americans as less likable, plaintiffs claim. So this isn't about me. I'm white. This isn't about white and black. This is about the university called Harvard. But the plaintiffs are filing a lawsuit and claiming that Harvard believes and acts as if Asians are less likable. Asian Americans are less likable. I don't know what an Asian American is. Is that a citizen or not? See, I rate my reality on whether somebody's a citizen or not, because that determines legality or not. Legality or illegality, right? Okay, I don't know when you say Asian American what that means. Is that somebody who's Asian by descent but lives in America with a green card or with a citizenship, naturalized citizenship, or maybe even born in America but they have Asian ancestry but they're not a naturalized citizen, they're just a citizen? Or does it mean somebody who's illegally? See, I think all that matters. And I think that the phrase that they use is very deceptive. But nevertheless, they rate Asian Americans as less likable. Okay, so I guess they have a big complicated, what's it called? Applicants, I guess is the best way to say it. But Harvard consistently rated Asian American applicants less favorable when it comes to likability, courage, kindness, being widely respected. That's according to an analysis of more than 160,000 student records. And this complaint is filed by a group representing Asian American students. Asian Americans who are applicants scored higher than any other racial or ethnic group on admissions measures like test scores, etc. Now, the bottom line is, though, they use these, quote, in my opinion, hate-filled criteria to reject these Asians. It's crazy, folks. So Reuters has a very hostile, right? Has a very hostile past against black people for slavery and such. And they continue their racist agenda today. But they tell you that I'm a racist. But I just don't get it. Now I'm defending the Asians. I defended the Muslims last hour. I defended the gay and lesbians and the Mormons and the Catholics and the blacks and the whites and promoted dads and promoted that we all got to work together. And wow. Now, they say many Ivy League schools, not just Harvard, right, have had similar divisions in race. They've had different ratios of Asian, American, black, white, and Hispanic students for years, despite fluctuations in application rates and qualification raising questions about how those numbers are arrived at and whether they represent, quote, unspoken quotas, right? Harvard and the group suing it have presented sharply divergent views of what constitutes a, quote, fair admissions process. Now, understand this is strange because there's not even white people involved in this, right? You got Asians battling the university going on here, right? It turns out that the suspicions of Asian Americans, Asian American alumni, in other words, people that have graduated from Harvard, students and applicants were right all along. Wow. It's in a court document. Harvard today engages in the same kind of discrimination and stereotyping as it used to justify quotas on Jewish applicants in the 1920s and the 1930s. And before that, they were tied to black slavery and money derived from those practices. Now, of course, Harvard vigorously disagreed on Friday, saying that its own expert internal analysis shows that, well, seeking diversity is a valuable part of student selection. The university lashed out, right, at the founder of Students for Fair Admissions. Imagine that. You know, these guys are Students for Fair Admissions. Edward Blum, accusing him of using Harvard to replay a previous challenge to affirmative action in college admissions. And then the Supreme Court back in the day, you know, said, hey, race can be used as one of the factors to, well, they say, create fair admissions or create affirmative actions and stuff like that. But again, it's racist at its very core. And they literally call me a racist. They literally run around and say this stuff. Now I'm defending the Asians and saying, wait a minute, they've been wronged. And you know what? On the aptitude tests or on the IQ tests or on the ACT or the, you know, the SAT or any whatever these different admissions tests that are being used are, the Asians do incredibly well, better than anybody, including whites on these tests. But then what they do is they undermine that scholastic capability or, you know, they undermine that with this idea that, well, they're less likable, right? Wow. Anyway, Harvard tried to keep secret documents that I guess were unsealed on Friday documenting the reality of this situation. So now you got Harvard keeping documents secret, literally promoting quotas, treating the blacks wrong back in the day, the 1800s or whatever, and then in the early 1920s and 30s, doing the same thing to other groups, and now hostile against the Asian people and stuff like that. I got an idea. I'll share it with you in a second.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hmm. getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm a prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so Harvard's in the news, ladies and gentlemen. They're getting sued for their continued racial practices. Back in the 1920s and 30s, they were discriminating against Jewish folks sometimes, and other times giving Jewish folks special treatment. And they've been doing the same thing to blacks. And now they're basically discriminating against the Asians. And I reject the discrimination. All right. Harvard rates Asian Americans as less likable, right? They were rated lower than others, other applicants, based on race, not just based on individualism, but based on race. See, I stand for the individual. I know some Asian people that are just wonderful people. But nevertheless, they rated them lower than others on traits like positive personality, likability, courage, being widely respected. But Asian Americans score higher on all these aptitude tests than others. And Harvard and the group suing it have presented sharply divergent views on what constitute a fair admissions process. That's what this battle's all about. It turns out that the suspicions of Asian Americans, alumni, students, and faculty, applicants were right all along. The groups for fair admissions, I guess it's students for fair admissions, provided in their analysis to the court. Wow. So I'm defending the Muslims now and saying, hey, they have every right to be treated fairly when it comes to the application process. You know, what ought to be used to create a fair applicant process. In other words, if too many people want to go to Harvard, what do you do? What criteria do you set in place to weed people out? Do you use religion and say no Muslims allowed? This is a Muslim-free zone. Do you say, well, illegals can't go? Do you say blacks can't go, whites can't go, Asians can't go, or we're going to create a criteria pitting one against another? Do you create quotas based on society and say, hey, you know what? Blacks are 12% of our society in general, so we're going to have a population in the collegiate world in our campus. Our admissions are going to, there's 12% that got to be admitted that are blacks. And we're going to use that criteria, and then, hey, within the black framework, getting 12%, we're going to have all these criteria that break it down. How do you do all this? And I agree that it's a very complicated process. But I also agree that we ought to not use race factors. We ought to not use quotas. We ought to not use male or female factors. In other words, we ought to not use things that are discriminatory in nature and divisionary in nature to make our decision. What we ought to do is let the best man or woman win. You say, well, Sam, how do you do that? Well, test scores are one way. Whatever level playing field we can use, in my mind, should be the starting point. All right? Hey, how many volunteer efforts have you made? How much philanthropy have you done? How much volunteer work or humanitarian work? Or, you can put whatever criteria in place you want to. How well-rounded is your life? All kinds of things. But I think that when we start to use race or gender or these things to, in my mind, we're off track. That's just my opinion. But when Harvard rates Asian Americans by some study and profiles them as less likable, they don't have near as positive a personality. Well, a lot of the Asians are quiet and very studious. They study incredibly hard. No wonder they run circles around us in terms of scholastic type measurements. No question. Likeability, courage, kindness. You know what? Asians are very kind, many of them. In fact, if you want to look at the American culture, we don't treat our elderly very kindly. We put them in houses and in old folks' homes, and they either live alone in their house or they're in an old folks' home, and we don't treat them with respect or dignity or care for them much. We ought to have multi-generational households where we care for them. We don't do that very well as Americans, but the Chinese and the Japanese and many of these other Asian cultures, they do incredibly well at caring for their elderly. How do we say they're not kind or respectful? They're very cheerful people, the many that I've dealt with. What do you mean courage? I mean, it's just amazing. And so this group's trying to stand up against Harvard's abuse, and they want to protect the Asians. And I happen to agree with them. I don't want to force people to live together and work together, So the Brown, versus Board of Education thing, forcing integration or whatever. I reject that. Not because I don't want people to live side by side kindly to one another. I just don't think it ought to be forced by government. That's all. You know what? I think we should freely associate with one another. I think that's the best way. All right. A couple of other stories before the end of the hour. But the suspicions of these Asian Americans sadly turn out to be correct. They were right all along. They laid out the analysis in court. Hopefully we'll hear what happens in that case. But very interesting indeed. All right. There's a couple of other interesting stories that I want to get to that relate to this that are very complex. A lot of these topics that I'm discussing today, Kirk Crosby had some business he had to take care of, so he's not with me. But I want to discuss it by myself primarily because I want to stay on target with the effort. I do not believe in divide and divisionary tactics using any framework against people. And so I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you two headlines, and I want you to compare them and see how genuine and honest they are. One headline says this. LDS, that's means the Latter-day Saints, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, all the same group, right? All right, LDS, family search, adding same-sex marriage information to its family tree database. And then the story talks about 3 years ago, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced at its Roots Tech conference that it would be adding same-sex marriage information to its family Tree Family Search Database. And then they talk about the goal of Family Search is to capture, store, and provide records and accurate genealogical information that represents past, present, and future families of the world, Family Search stated on its website. Now, to support this goal, they say, same-sex relationships will be provided in Family Search Family Tree. Family Search noted that several systems have to be updated. They expect to finish this work by 2019. They say following this work, then the Family Search Family Tree application can allow same-sex information to be recorded. All right? Now, I bring that up because that's the purpose and the details. And I believe that to be a reasonably fair headline documenting the details. However, there's another headline from the same newspaper that's quite, in my opinion, incendiary. And here's what it says. Mormon genealogical data base to accept same-sex couples. Now, it all depends on how you pivot the word accept. So let me give you the headline again. Mormon genealogical database to accept same-sex couples. Now, the reason I say that's not as genuine or as honest of a headline is because it all depends on how you define the word accept. Now, let's be very clear. The Mormons end the article by saying this. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who use these same records to request temple services for their ancestors and families understand that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints solemnizes and carries out only marriages that are between a man and a woman. So it all depends on what you mean by the Mormon Church accepts, right? And that's kind of the problem and the confusion generated, and that's why I'm bringing it up. The major purpose for doing family history in the Mormon Church or the LDS Church is to prepare the names of deceased family members for the vicarious work that Mormons do in the temple. That includes baptisms by proxy, temple endowments, and marriages known as temple sealings. Family Search is one of the world's largest collections of genealogical data drawn from civil, ecclesiastical, and other sources to help researchers. Now listen carefully. No judgment is made as to the legitimacy or the character or of these records. In other words, they're saying we're not making any judgments about these records, whether we agree or disagree with same-sex marriage, whether we agree or disagree with the relationships formed or the claim of them being formed. We're not making any judgment of that. Now, I commend the Mormon Church for their stance on this, but if we're not very careful, I believe it's kind of taken a big time out of context, right? So the Mormons are not happy with same-sex marriage, nor do they agree with same-sex marriage. Okay? And every effort to paint them in an unfavorable light is wrong. They don't hate anybody. And where do you draw the lines? How do you behave about it? How do you work together on it? I'll explain in seconds. They've done it perfectly. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org. Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints only believes in and solemnizes marriages that relate to a man and a woman, legally and lawfully married. They add to that civil marriage a sealing, is what the Mormons call it, which means they go to the temples of our God. And we believe we have the power to bind on earth as is bound in heaven, given to us through what we call the priesthood, the authority to act in the name of God. And we believe that we have restored to the earth the rights to seal for time and all eternity. We believe marriages last forever as Mormons, but only between a man and a woman. All right. And so that's why I'm kind of taking on this discussion a little bit. And LDS Family Search is adding same-sex marriage information to its family tree database. It'll get done 2019. And they say the reason they're doing that is they're not making any judgment about these relationships. They're just documenting them because that's what society documents and the genealogy services and capabilities and systems that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has. They want everybody to be able to use them. And so they're not making any judgment about the details of those records. They're just archiving and documenting the records. But the two headlines diverge quite a bit. One headline says, Mormon genealogical database to accept same-sex couples. Okay, they're accepting the data. They're accepting the records, the archives, the information as it exists for genealogical purposes and research. But they're not making any judgment. And so they're not accepting same-sex couples. Just because they allow the data to be archived, that doesn't mean that they accept it. This headline, in my opinion, is much more educational and informative as to the real view. LDS Family Search adding same-sex marriage information to its family tree database. That's a much more, in my opinion, informed and accurate headline. And then to explain on top of that, my reasoning for the difference in the headline is this. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who use these same records to request temple services for their ancestors and families understand that the church solemnizes or seals marriages only between people of the opposite sex. See how that kind of sheds light on the reality here and why I kind of take issue with the other headline? All right. Next headline. So I believe it's very kind and not discriminatory to do what the Mormon Church has done. They're saying, hey, we have our beliefs. We can stand by our beliefs. And we are not going to cave on those beliefs because we believe God sets forth those rules, not us. We just obey them, right? We believe in them and we understand them and we do our best to uphold them. However, other people believe differently. We respect their beliefs as well. And therefore, because we allow our genealogy databases to be used by everybody, and because we tap into all these other record systems that document these same-sex marriages, we're going to document them and record keep about them honestly, openly, fairly as well. And we're going to allow other people to use that data for whatever their purposes are as well. And we respect them and have support their right to use the data as the way they think best, as we hope they will allow us to do the same. That doesn't mean that Mormons accept same-sex marriage or agree to it or that we're okay with it or that we're softening on the issue, that pretty soon we'll embrace it. None of those things are true. And I'm trying to set the record straight. So I think it's a very kind, very well-founded position that the Mormon Church has here. Look, we have our beliefs. You have yours. We won't discriminate. We will not make any judgments. We'll provide the data to everybody. We'll document what's going on. We'll use it for our purposes appropriately. We respect you and allow you to do the same. Does it get any better than that from bringing people together, avoiding the controversy, balancing gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, quote, rights with religious rights? I think it does. And I hope we can continue to go forward and set the standard of kindness and gentleness and respect for one another's beliefs. There's another headline that kind of makes the point as well. Utah LGBT groups allowed in July 4th parade after uproar. Organizers of a prominent Utah July 4th festival struck a deal to allow five LGBT organizations to participate in a parade on Thursday, reversing, I guess, the claim that they couldn't before and all this kind of stuff. Now, how do you feel about that? Well, it's hard to know. And it's very interesting to discuss. I don't really enjoy promoting the gay and lesbian agenda in our parades. I agree we don't want to discriminate. How do we behave and how do we act in a way of non-discrimination, of kindness, of respect for different beliefs? And how do we move forward in a way that doesn't continue to, in my opinion, weaken or sow the seeds of destruction for our culture? Is that a fair point? Or am I now a hater of gay and lesbians? See, I disagree with their agenda, and I disagree with them getting special privileges based on that. In other words, race or male and female gender, well, I say that it's something that you can't change, you're born with. Others would claim differently. They would say you're born with this gay or lesbian attraction or tendency or fundamental orientation or whatever. I'm not mocking them. I'm just saying that's their belief. I don't believe you're born with that. I believe that's a choice. I believe there are attractions and weaknesses people have, but I believe it's a choice to decide who you're physically involved with. Right? So how do we work through all this? And the answer is there are no good answers in society when we have these kind of differing opinions that are so at odds. And so the only way I know to go forward with these things are to be kind, to be respectful, to agree to disagree agreeably, and to respect one another. And a great compromise is what we've got to do in these situations. Now, you would say, Sam, compromise only, you know, they compromise with you because you'll compromise. But after they have control, they won't compromise. In other words, they cater to you when it's your agenda and they act like they buy into your agenda. But in the end, they have their own agenda and it's vastly different from yours. You'll be sold out in the end. I understand that view. I somewhat disagree with it in the sense that I agree that's some people's agenda. I disagree that I'll lose by being kind and following the Prince of Peace and negotiating. The Founding Fathers negotiated, and we've had the freest country on the face of the earth for a couple of hundred years as a result. And then others would come back and say, yeah, but you're about to lose it, Sam. And I would say, not on my watch. I'll do my best to prevent that. Nevertheless, we have lost ground. But what we've lost ground on is this moral compass. We don't say God's law is between a man and a woman, biblically speaking. We're a Christian nation anymore. We say, hey, many don't accept that, and therefore, we're going to force on you this other view. And so that's the balance that we have to have. How do I maintain my core beliefs, but yet be kind to one another? And so Utah LGBT groups allowed in July 4th parade after uproar. Well, I personally believe it was a culture battle, and I believe that men and women should stand up for their beliefs politely and kindly, and I believe the gay and lesbians put together a great lobby. They put their money where their mouth is, and they literally moved the needle, just like they did with gay marriage in America. Most Americans aren't for gay marriage. Now, I know they'll tell you poll after poll after poll shows increasing support for gay marriage, but that's only because they manipulated and promoted in the media and society, and they've agitated in the courts to force their way. I'll give you an example. California said no to gay initiative in California, but the courts just overruled and said yes. A couple of judges just changed that game against the will of the public. Same thing's happening here in America, or in Utah, I mean, I'm sorry. You got the, they said, no, we don't want you participating in the parade. We don't want you to parade your gay and lesbian agenda and sexual, you know, promiscuity in front of everybody or your agenda. And then what happened is the, you know, a lot of people that are Christian would say, no, you know what, we really don't want that in the culture. But yet these guys agitated, put their money where their mouth is and forced a change. Well, I would say that the Christians, the conservatives, whatever you want to call us, the people who don't believe in gay and lesbian agendas did not put our money where our mouth is, and the other guys did. And as a result, they won. Right? Now, then you would say, well, Sam, how do you feel about it? Do you believe that, you know, the gay and lesbians should be in the parade? Well, I believe that we need to not discriminate to the best of our ability. I also believe we have a right to preserve our culture. Right? And the problem is when you discuss these complicated subjects, and this is where most people will complain and they won't have answers. We don't believe in that on this program. We provide an answer, whether you agree or disagree with our answer or our solution, to everything we talk about. We will not talk about an issue where we won't provide our viewpoint on. Might our viewpoint change? It might if we gain greater knowledge on a subject. We're not saying we can never change or that we can never be wrong. But you've got in what I like to call, and I'm developing this kind of a understanding over time here, and maybe it's out there somewhere else and I just don't know about it, so I'm developing it on my own. But it's called the ethics of moral prioritization. The ethics of moral prioritization. What do I do when there's no good choices? Right? If the gay lesbians are going to demand they be in the parade, and I need to be kind to not discriminate, what do I do? So it gets very complicated. But they are allowed in the parade now after the uproar. That's a very interesting twist. In my opinion, we're losing ground in the culture war. However, if I'm, you know, kind of setting this ethics of moral prioritization, I would say, am I going to just push back and discriminate? Or am I going to allow the will of the people? At what point would you call it discrimination versus preserving your culture? See what I mean? You got a lot of complicated topics. I've run out of time today. I can't get into this ethics of moral prioritization like I'd like to. It's something that I'll reserve for another day to talk about. It's very complicated. And you need to use all kinds of what-if scenarios to kind of back into it and understand it. But I'll give you a quick, simple example to make the point so I don't leave you hanging. But the detailed discussion will have to come at a later date. Moral prioritization says this. If you were forced to murder or lie, which would you do? Well, you'd say, Sam, I would choose neither. Of course, that's the highest moral option. And if you have that option, that's absolutely what you choose. But in our society, oftentimes, we're not allowed to have C. Kurt and I joke about that a lot. I want choice C. How come that's not available? Well, if you only have the choice of murdering and lying, I would choose to lie. Not because I like lying. Not because I agree that lying is okay. I don't. But if I'm going to be forced to do that, okay. I believe murder is worse than lying, right? I think bearing false witness is worse than lying. Lying means I just deceive you about something. Bearing false witness means that I betray another. So bearing false witness on the moral priority list of ethics, being ethical about, you know, prioritizing morals, I would say bearing false witness is worse than just a lie. Both of them are wrong. Don't get me wrong. But one of them has a greater evil attached to it, a greater intent. All right. And I think sinning against the Holy Ghost is the worst sin. Next is murder. The next is adultery. But what's worse, fornication? In other words, just having sex with somebody out of marriage, or adultery? I would say adultery is worse. Why? Because adultery not only is involved sexually when it's against God's laws, but it's forcing others to break covenants they previously made on top of it. So fornication is wrong, but adultery is even worse. See, it's that kind of stuff. When you get into these moral dilemmas and you got no good choices, what do you do and how do you resolve them? And you need to side on the err on the side of mercy as opposed to justice, don't you? All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully me talking for a couple of hours wasn't too darn boring. Hopefully I'm an interesting and educational enough guest or a host to make it worth your time. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com are our websites for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips, and we declare this nation shall endure.